Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an NBA Finals Week edition of Dirt and Sprague.
27 years since the last Finals game in this building. I know our fan base is really excited, as they should be. But as a team, us inside the locker room, we have more work to do.
With Andy Dirk Johnson and Brandon Sprague, NBA Finals Week on The Fan is brought to you by Video Only. For the best deals on Samsung, LG, and Sony TVs, shop Video Only. Or you'll be sorry. Dirt and Sprague on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM, The Fan.
Hey, let's do this final hour. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland sports leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app, live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody. Hope your Tuesdays are off to a good start. We got a lot to get to in this hour of radio. Game 4, Blue Line Brandon excited. Game 4 of the Stanley Cup Final. You were texting about that game, I got to admit. Very happy. Very happy with you.
Didn't really get much of a reaction.
And didn't get you nothing guys from, guys from Jason Swigart. Didn't respond at all.
It was poker night with the boys.
Were you watching the game?
Yes, we had the game on.
Okay, you had the game on.
But I was. Okay. I'm the permanent dealer of our group.
You've been elected permanent dealer of your poker group?
Yeah.
You like being a permanent dealer? Mm-hmm. You do.
Are you that? You're that good, though.
Now, are you a good shuffler? Or are you a good what's
pretty
the...
good shuffler? We pass the shuffle around.
Oh, okay. So other people shuffle.
So other people shuffle.
Then you got to throw the coin around though and for big blind, little blind. You got to move your blind
move the
tokens
markers
around
for the blinds around. All
okay.
that stuff.
Interesting move. A yeah. permanent dealer.
Why did you want that job?
Mm. I just sort of fell into it. Mm. It's one of those things. You know, we get together and
he's good with his hands.
Just did it.
This is back to the mascot point. He'll take the job if you offer it to him.
Yeah, that's true.
He'll do it.
I think it's further evidence of your argument, right?
I always love. I fell into it. No, they yeah. offer, and you're like, yes.
Yeah, let's yes. do it. Yeah, that's the permanent dealer thing is not something I would be attracted by. But as somebody who enjoys an occasional poker night with the buddies, it would be nice to have a permanent dealer guy. We at one point when our poker days had, I had a buddy buy a shuffling machine. That was quite enjoyable.
We tried that.
Yeah.
And after about three
machine.
Times.
A shuffling machine.
How about that?
It's not as streamlined as hand
no.
shuffling.
It was quicker to just have somebody else yeah. shuffle
the
and hand
you the
back. The
thought of it is better than
yes.
the execution of it. You think, like, this is going to be great.
Plus,
and then you
if
do, it's
you
like,
have
no,
a big
crazy.
Group, if the table is full,
yeah.
then where the hell do you put it?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, where do the chips go, all that? We've got a lot to get to, though. Final hour. Let's get to, though, as we always start, the final hour on a Tuesday with the mail sack.
You ask... Dirt and Sprague answer.
Yeah.
This is the Mail Sack.
Mail Sack time.
Mail Sack.
Brought to you by Sparta TRT.
This is Sparta!
Committed to safe, simple, straightforward testosterone replacement and male performance therapy. Go to SpartaTRT.com for more.
That's right. It's a Sparta TRT mail sack brought to you by Sparta TRT. Whether you're hitting the gym, just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch from the sidelines. Reclaim your edge. Win at the second half of life. SpartaTRT.com. After the last 48 hours I've gone through, Lord knows I need a little upgrade in tea.
You need some TRT, man.
I need some TRT in me, dude.
TRT.
Maybe that'll keep me from getting sick every other week. Let's get to the mail sack, gentlemen. Are you ready?
Yeah, go ahead.
All right. Mail sack question numero uno. Early right. in the show today, mail sack question. If the Knicks win the NBA title this season and decided to provide either Stephen A. Smith or Spike Lee with an honorary championship ring, who would you select?
Spike. Lee. Not remotely a contest.
It's not even close. One of my favorite championship ring stories, I've probably told this on the show by now, but years ago, my dad and I went down to go to a couple of Giants games for a weekend. This would have been 2015, 16, somewhere in that range. I think he was retiring. I think that's why we went down. And I had a buddy at the time who worked for AT&T, and he got us seats because it was AT&T Park still.
Right.
Got us seats like front row seats, essentially, right behind. There's like the row of seats that's right behind the fence by the opposing dugout.
Yep.
And then there's a little walkway, and then we were in the front row after that. They were like the seats that the commissioner sat in when the World Series was there. And one of the funniest stories that I remember was about halfway through the first game, we went to a three-game series, same seats in every game. Halfway, like middle of the third inning, a guy walks in, a big fat guy walks in, and behind him are like five scantily dressed women. And they walk in and sit in the seats right by the opponent's dugout. And the guy sitting next to us joked, and we eventually saw it. The guy was a pimp.
Yeah.
And he would bring girls every time a road team, he'd bring them in, and they would sit around
to attract business.
Basically, to like, hey, and they were playing the Nationals. Bryce Harper was still on the team. He's like, hey, what do you think? You need a clientele for the weekend while you're in town. And the funny part about the story was, guess what that guy had on? The pimp.
A championship ring.
He had a World Series ring. Now, they didn't know who inside the organization gave it to him, but clearly he had
an organization pimping.
Some sort of hookup inside the like, this pimp had a World Series ring. There's only one way you're getting that. You got to know somebody high up.
Yeah.
And,
or somebody didn't pay, and they had to pay by giving you a World Series ring.
But every time I think of that, it just reminds me of that story of my dad and I still joke to this day, especially this year when they're playing terrible, of like, the pimp must not have brought the girls in on time.
Well, if it's 2015-16, it'd be really funny if years from now we find out, Pablo Sandoval couldn't find his 2012 championship ring.
Pimp snagged it out of the locker room.
The pimp, well, he owed the pimp money and he couldn't quite pay up on that
one. Spent too much money on burritos over the years, got a little too fat. This is not even close.
There's nothing remotely
Stephen A. Smith is
interesting
a fake
about giving
fan
Stephen A.
in the epitome of the word.
A fake fan.
He is not a real fan. He doesn't go to games.
Fan.
He just does it for clout.
Yeah.
Spike Lee's at every game sitting courtside.
He
has been for 30 years.
He saw them win in 73, but he was a child.
Yes.
And he said on the broadcast yesterday he would give one of his Academy Awards for the championship.
Of course he would. How many has he won, though?
I think he has three.
He's only got three?
I think
for, like,
he said,
all general awards, he's only won? I mean,
of the Oscars.
Oh, okay.
So of the Oscars, I think he has three, and I think, because I'm pretty sure he said he'd give one because he'd still have two.
I mean, he's still got two.
But he'd give one of them if it meant giving the Knicks a title. I was thinking about this yesterday because of the broadcast. The weird thing about this is you have the Knicks home play-by-play guy on the main broadcast, and I think Breen's been really good.
Outstanding, yeah.
He gets a ring if the Knicks win. So there's a weird thing of he has to call the game neutral.
Good point.
But he knows if one team wins, he's getting a freaking ring.
That's a good point. I want Stephen A. Smith to experience no happiness in life, so that's an easy answer for me. I want that guy to go away. Mail sack question. My wife and I got eloped in March, so I didn't have a traditional bachelor party. I'm trying to plan a trip for me and some buddies. It would probably be a weekend at the coast or Central Oregon, around a golf or two. Is it weird to still reference it as a bachelor party, or should I just call it a guy's trip? If it makes a difference, no strip clubs. The wife and I enjoy those together now. Well, good for you on the last point.
Is that Jordan Schultz?
I think he's been married longer than that, but it may be. You never know.
Vows? I mean,
Schultz, we love you. I called a bachelor party. What's wrong with I mean, I did that because I got married in COVID.
Did that title get canceled?
Oh, is it? Did it?
Did something? The way they're framing that makes it sound like something controversial.
I think he's just framing it as I'm doing it after the technical wedding, so it's
wedding.
Like it's not technical. Bachelor parties are supposed to be before.
Call
it a bachelor. Who cares, dude?
If you're not going to cheat on your wife, you're not going to a strip bar. Who cares? No. Call it a bachelor party anyway.
I did my bachelor party a year later because mine also got canceled. It was in the middle of COVID, and so we couldn't do it the summer I got married, and then the next summer we did a golf trip to Central Oregon.
Yeah, and I don't recall anybody making fun of us calling it a bachelor party.
We
just said we're going to Dirt's bachelor party.
It just became a joke that I'm gonna have a bachelor party every year and something golf related.
And I think you legitimately tried to.
I thought this is a great idea. I should do this every year. Why haven't I done it every year? Now I don't have a golf trip on the books for this summer, and I'm depressed about that. Call it a bachelor party. You do you, boo. Mail sack question: which championship from your lifetime would you want to be on the team for? You only get one championship. Any sport works as long as it's a team. So what championship would you want to be a part of as a player?
I'm trying to, I mean, how do you not pick? Look, you can pick your team, and I wouldn't blame anybody for doing so. How are we not picking Cubs or Red Sox here?
Has there been a more iconic title than Cubs or Red Sox in our lifetime?
See, I might pick the 94 Rangers Stanley Cup.
God, you're a nerd.
That thing was insane.
Yeah?
So insane. More insane than the Red Sox and Cubs.
Shut up over there.
More insane than the Red Sox.
I mean, it's
Sox
not more insane
Cubs.
Than the Red Sox or Cubs.
Did you just say yeah?
It was not more. Stop it, Swigard. Stop it.
Don't.
It was a Madison Square Garden.
It's a big deal. I'm not saying it's not a big deal.
The team
say
playing
it's a
in
bigger...
the finals now will be a much bigger deal than the Rangers doing it in Madison Square Garden.
No, that's not true. I will defend. That's not true. The Rangers
win. Knicks win the NBA
Knicks, sorry,
finals.
Sorry. I thought you were saying this year's Stanley Cup champion would be a bigger deal.
No, I'm saying if the Knicks win the
that
finals,
is
that is a much bigger deal than even the Rangers.
That's a basketball town. It's not a bigger deal than the Red Sox breaking the curse.
That's an all-time bad take.
It's just not. It's not.
That's 500 miles swimming in the ocean.
How long did the Cubs go without a title?
108 years.
106. 1908 was their last one, right? Wasn't it 1908 or 1907?
Yeah, they won in 2016.
And they won in 2016.
I think it was 108 years.
I'm trying to think if there's one I would take.
I don't like either of those teams. I don't root for them, but to be a part of imagine being part of the Red Sox team that came back from 3-0 against the Yanks and then won the World Series. You're made for life.
I mean, in a lot of these cases, you're made for life, but that,
Hot take. You win the Denver Broncos Super Bowl with Peyton Manning, you ain't made for life if you win it with John Elway. There's a difference there.
I think Peyton's still made in Denver.
Well, that's Peyton Manning,
He's
though.
He's the king of Denver.
I'm saying if you're run-of-the-mill role guy on the Broncos with broken Peyton Manning versus winning with Elway in the Mile High Salute.
That's fair.
That's a
fair
much
point.
Different Super Bowl cachet.
The court will allow that point. The court, the judge will allow. Giants 07 will be pretty tough.
Beating the Patriots?
Beating the undefeated Patriots of like the game nobody gave them a chance to win.
But they had won at least, they at least won the Super Bowl in the 80s with Tuna.
What would be that they had? Yeah,
they
had
at least
title.
Had won one, you know?
What's the most shocking college basketball championship we've seen in our lifetime?
Probably NC State, right?
NC State or Villanova beating Georgetown.
Okay. Being a part of the Valvano one. It would be pretty special.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty damn cool.
They beat Houston.
Didn't they beat the Beavs early, too?
Yeah,
the first
Gil.
Game or in Gil.
In Gil.
Early in the tournament.
It wasn't against the Beavers. Oregon State was just hosting
it was just the host tournament. Okay. But, yeah, I think Red Sox is my answer. And that pains me to say it because I hate the Boston Red Sox. But to erase a 3-0 deficit against your arch rival.
I'm going
to
tell you why
who had just won, four titles in five? Like they had just
been
on
a dynasty.
They were a dynasty. Yeah. They were still a dynasty. And you won four in a row. And then you ended the curse in that fashion.
Remember the year prior, they choked the
in
ALCS
game seven,
away.
They gave up the home run.
I'm going Cubs, and I'll tell you why. Mm. The Red Sox one is probably, I don't know why I'm doing this. I have the Red Sox slightly bigger. And maybe I'm wrong on that read. I'm picking Chicago. Because Chicago sports teams have largely been dog crap. And you did the Cubs curse.
Yeah. I mean, outside of the Bulls in the 90s, point taken.
I mean, post-Jordan.
The Bulls in the
Jets. Blackhawks, I guess, had
Blackhawks had
a run.
A little bit there with Kane and Taves.
They won three cups.
Yeah.
So if you root for all sports.
But that was after. Yeah, that comes after Bartman. And
the Bears have been irrelevant.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, the Bears have done nothing.
The White Sox got a random one in 05, but nobody cares about the White Sox.
The White Sox are irrelevant.
So I think I'm going Cubs because at least in Boston, it's Patriots.
You were in the middle
Bruins,
of the Patriots.
The Celtics
dynasty.
Have been good.
Yeah.
And it still means something else, but like I think I'm going Chicago for that reason.
Yeah. That's a fun question to think about of like what iconic time. The Knicks are definitely a part of this. If they go on to win the championship, to be the team that does it in New York for the first time since what, 73, 74?
Whatever 73.
The first, like that's a big deal, dude. That's huge.
I mean, the answer to this question in a year for Dirt will be maybe.
Well, we know what it'll be a year from now. It's definitely going to happen. They won't break my heart in the most shocking
fashion.
They won't
lose by 40 in a rematch.
No, it won't happen.
The title in Vegas this year for college football?
That it is.
Yeah, it's in Vegas. Yes, it is, Edward. Yes, it is. Mail sack question. What is your favorite Chipotle bowl? Too soon.
We weren't naming
them. That's just rude. That's just rude. Don't do it. I can't think about it right now.
We have very opposite
don't want to do it.
Reactions to them. I haven't experienced anything bad.
Yeah. I have a bad track record with
them. Do you
them,
also order everything them. On it? Like, do you get the sour cream, all the cheese,
no,
the
not
hot
a sour
sauce?
Cream. No, I don't do the sour, because I've learned over the years that the main red hot sauce salsa is usually the one that causes issues. Mm. So I stop putting that on my burrito.
I like the pico
which
better.
Dialed back my issues a little bit.
I get the corn salsa.
I do
like
the corn and the pico.
Corn and pico.
I'd stop. I don't want to think about it.
Is it really still making you?
Yeah, I mean, the appetite's back a little bit today. But it's not...
Also, steak over chicken.
That's not great. Maybe that was my problem. Maybe I did the chicken.
I can't do
carnitas. I do the pork.
Oh, you do
the
pork?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mail sack question. Should I sue my neighbor? I came home to find out a ton of branches cut off of my tree that borders the neighbor's property. I prune it. He decided to hack 2 feet into my property and said he did not need to ask my permission. Should I sue?
So he went 2 feet over your fence
line. The fence line to trim your tree.
And he admits that he did this on purpose, not I cut and it just all kind of collapsed.
He seemed to admit that and say, I did not need your permission.
I mean,
is it a hedge or a tree?
He said tree.
It's a tree.
He said tree.
I have a cherry tree that comes over my fence from my behind neighbor, and I pick
cherries. If the roots of the tree are completely within his property, he's responsible for the tree, I believe.
No, if the branches are over the fence line, that's your branch to do what you want.
Oh, is that the way it works? I've never known the way this actually works.
No, the roots are not. It's root-based?
I thought it was root-based.
Yeah. Somebody told me if the branch is over the fence, I can cut the branch off at the fence line. But I'm not going to remove the tree, obviously, because it's not in my yard.
You're not going to go dig it up on the other side of the fence.
But if the other guy decides to trim the branches back, you know.
Well, if you go past the fence to somebody else's tree, you have crossed the line.
You've crossed the property line.
But see, I have 2 pine tree branches that are hanging over my backyard.
I think you have this backwards. So the tree... Read it again.
Okay, read again.
The tree is in the guy who texted
his yard. Came home
to
find out branches cut off a tree that borders on the neighbor's property.
Yes.
I prune it. He decided to hack 2 feet into my property.
Oh, okay.
So it's his tree that the guy went over the fence
to cut. He said he didn't need to ask my permission.
Yeah.
No. Yes. I'm talking to a lawyer.
You're actually going to sue
going lawyer
over this?
Route, huh?
Well, how much are you getting? $8?
Yeah, what is the outcome there? How does that end positively in any way? I guess I would ask, what's your relationship with your neighbor?
With your neighbor.
Do you like your neighbor? Yeah. Have you got along with... If you hate your neighbor, and this is like, then by all means, I guess, continue the icy relationship.
Sounds contentious.
It does seem a little contentious. If you've had a decent or passable relationship, do you really want to end... Like, is a couple of feet of branches worth... the outcome that will present?
Well, since we're in this kind of generalized conversation, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
So my fence is in awful shape.
Falling down, yeah.
It was falling down. We bought the house. We had the seller put it back up and make sure it was sturdy enough because I can't fix anything, right?
No.
I put a new screen on a window yesterday and I thought it was the coolest accomplishment of my life. Even though I had to undo it once to redo it, it was
put it on
really
backwards,
annoying.
Did something the wrong way. So yeah, damn it, I should have read the instructions.
But you've heard me do the commercial together report. So like, I'm going to Mr. Plywood here, and I'm gonna get new fence stuff. I have to do this in the summer, right? Because you want the post to dry and
right.
the weather. I have not yet notified or talked about this with a single neighbor, and every day I'm like, I'm gonna do it today,
and then you don't do it that day,
and then I don't do it.
I know that feeling. Now,
and we're talking.
Yeah, you're bordering
three neighbors because one neighbor put their own fence up behind my fence, so they didn't have to talk to me.
Oh,
they did it before I moved in, but they put up. There's a fence that we were
they
sharing.
Want a bigger. Yeah,
they did their own fence, so you don't even talk to us about.
Fence. Oh, so it's a double fence.
A double fence.
You're falling down fence in their new fence.
Well, their fence is fine. My fence
is keeling over.
It's keeling over. So I'm going to have to replace
it. I don't think you need to discuss.
I'm not
anything.
Talking to
yeah,
them.
Yeah, they won't do anything.
But
so,
I
but
have
the two
three
on the
others.
Sides.
I have 2 behind, 1 small section, 1 major section, and 1 to the left of my house that I have to talk to.
I mean, you're going to have to bring it up. When is this fence going in? Do you have a date?
I'm aiming for July.
Yeah, so sometime in the next month.
Trying to get it done in the summer when even though it's hot, I'm like not worried about weather.
I think the approach will be you definitely ask because if some of them are willing to kick in, that's wonderful, right? To help the financial because fences are expensive.
But what's
that adds up.
What is the distance between building the fence and telling your neighbors that's like standard protocol here? Because I have
I
not
don't
done it.
No, I feel like you're maybe a little late, but if
that's
you do
I'm
it now
about.
And you're roughly a month away, that's at least like if you do it the week before, like, hey, by the way, next Tuesday the fence is coming down. That's significantly too late. But if you do it now, probably erring on the late side, you're still a month out. So yeah, you got at least an argument there of like, hey, by the way, next month we're going to put a fence in. If you guys would love to chip in, we'd love to have
gotcha.
You chip in.
Okay.
I think that's still fair.
Okay.
It's also a weird dilemma. The whole fence idea is just strange to me. Of one person has to take the bull by the horns.
It's me putting it all up.
When everybody else benefits from the fence.
Yeah.
And if they can legally tell you to go pound sand, we're not giving you a dime for this, we're going to reap every benefit that your new fence is
but
going
what
to bring.
That's an odd position to take.
I know. I'm just saying those people are out there. Hmm. Yeah.
One neighbor put up, they repaired their own fence in a section that's not sharing with mine.
Mm-hmm.
And it's already like coming down. They did a pretty poor job
right,
of it. But that
it.
Tells me that they don't want to pay. One neighbor, the section is legitimately like 9 feet to 10 feet.
Yeah, that's not a lot.
So what is that going to cost?
Right.
And the other neighbor, I've...
Can you break it down by feet for me? What's
I've never talked to them outside of a ball landing in their backyard.
Yeah, you got to go get the ball back.
So it's a really odd dynamic of neighbors.
Not having the relationship certainly hinders the ability to feel good about getting money. Because if you have a good relationship with all your neighbors, which some neighborhoods are that, like you talk, you know each other well.
Sure.
That feels a little bit different. But if you don't talk to them, then it's like, hey, by the way, I'm your... Paper, you want to give me a couple grand to help build this fence? That'd be great. We got some more Sparta TRT mail sack just getting underway. The second half of it next, 105.1 FM, The Fam.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
A couple of thoughts here at the fan text line. We'll get back into the Sparta TRT mail sack, 503-864-6326.
Let's go!
People upset that we did not bring up the Miracle on Ice team to be a championship to be a part of. Talk about living off that forever. Those guys have lived off that forever. Another one, if we're just talking parties, how are we not choosing the 86 Mets?
I don't think I could handle that party.
Do you think you could survive an 86 Mets
no.
party?
He's never smoked marijuana. You think he's doing blow?
That is true. You would Come not on. Survive.
No way I would survive
The 1980
that.
One
Your heart
is,
would stop.
That's certainly a good one, and their lives have been pretty cool, and they've been celebrated since.
A Disney movie made about them.
How much was, I don't know, fill-in-the-blank player making on one of those baseball teams.
Oh, yeah.
Have those guys cashed in?
A lot of them have struggled financially in the aftermath.
How much was
of
Anthony
that?
Rizzo's contract when he was the first baseman right. of the title team of the Cubs?
Things are a little bit different nowadays.
So, I mean, I know that's historically a pretty awesome moment. I'd rather have the paycheck with the mix.
Speaking
of historically being great.
Did you see the Keith Hernandez story the other day that he told on the broadcast? So he was on a flight. I can't remember where he was going, but he was on a flight and sitting next to somebody decked out in Mets gear. And the guy was sitting next to him in first class.
Oh, didn't know who Keith Hernandez was?
And he didn't know who Keith Hernandez was. And he told the story on the broadcast, which as a former player, that's one thing. But, like, he's literally still the broadcaster of the team.
Yes.
Yeah. Like, it's one thing if it's a former Blazer, but we haven't seen him in 30 years. And
right.
you're like, who is that? Oh, yeah.
Did
oh.
you recognize Larry Johnson last night? Because when he hugged Stephon Marbury, who did he hug? He grabbed John Starks.
That's a good point. I did not. I like, thought to myself, is that Larry Johnson?
And
was my thought. And
they
I
showed
did.
Him later and said, there's Larry Johnson.
Okay.
I said, Grandmama.
See, the difference, though, again, is that he's not. If you're a diehard fan of your team, you're
I
watching your team play. If you're
That's
wearing
different.
Head-to-toe gear.
Yeah, but if Walt Frazier gives you a hug as a Knicks
right.
fan, you better know who Walt Frazier is.
Right, because he's calling Knicks games. He was on the broadcast. He was like, this guy's a Mets fan. I didn't even know who I am. Is he really a Mets fan? Which
well,
I was kind of
was
a funny
he?
Bit. I can't remember how old he said
Keith
it in the
Hernandez
story.
Last year as a Met was 80 yeah. freaking 9. Yeah. Dirt wasn't even alive.
Hey, depends on when it happened.
Yeah,
probably
but you're watching. That's what he's saying. You're watching Mets games. He's
but
in the
he's
broadcast
He's the color
booth.
Commentator of the team. If you don't know the commentator of your team, are you a fan of your team?
Yes.
You think so?
Yeah.
You
Baseball?
Think
yeah,
you
dude.
Think people don't know. People follow the team but couldn't tell you who the color commentator is?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. I forget the Braves guy half the time.
Now, do they rotate in and out?
Not the main.
Not the play-by-play guy, but the color guy will rotate
it's
in and out?
It's usually Frank Gore.
Yeah.
But, like, sometimes they mix it up and I'm like, oh, it's not Frank Gore today because I see him.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't think baseball guys long – people maybe a little older than us to Swag's age, yes. People our age to maybe younger.
Did he never watch Seinfeld? I mean,
there's people that haven't watched Seinfeld.
Seinfeld's another good poll, too.
I think we're living too much of a bubble here.
And a sports bubble? Are we in a sports bubble right now?
Well, and also teams have rotating broadcasters.
This isn't just some random. I mean,
that is true.
Guys,
and there's always because that happens. The Giants will roll somebody out because their main guys don't go on the road anymore because they're
what
old.
I'm saying, dude.
But it takes me like two games. Oh, that's Sean Estes, or oh, that's Hunter Pence.
Well, Hernandez
or, oh,
missed time. He had a
Javi
medical
Lopez.
Thing. He missed time.
He did. Yeah, you're
so
not wrong there.
I just, I don't know, man. I don't think the broadcaster when baseball carries the same weight it once did.
Yeah,
it's a great job. They're good at their job,
no doubt.
But it's not.
It's not the Vin Scully vibe anymore.
Okay. Who's the guy that replaced Uecker?
I can't tell you.
I don't know if Brewer fan can.
I can't tell you.
I think Brewer fan.
We got one that listens. We should ask him. Yeah. Mail sack question. What movie or TV show series do you wish you could rewatch again for the first time?
Oh.
It's a great question. If the final season was good and not complete dog ass, I would tell you Game of Thrones. But the ending of it, I don't want to relive. You know what I'll give you?
I'm going to go old school because I want to relive and watch a show that everybody's watching at the same time for the conversations around the office that don't largely exist anymore. So I'm going to an era where TV was like 10 channels.
Okay.
And you it was appointment television.
You're going to give me I Love Lucy?
I'm going Cheers.
Cheers. That's a good one.
I'm going to go...
different era of television.
Woody Harrelson, Ted Danson. We're going Cheers. Shelley Long, Kirstie Alley. I'm going old school appointment television.
That's a good point when there used to be not many channels and everybody watched the same thing seemingly. I'm going to go... I'm going to use your same logic, but a show that I didn't watch because I was too young when it first came out and then came to love when I was old enough to watch it. Would have loved to have been able to go through those same things with The Sopranos. Mm. The Sopranos ending and being able to react to that. Because by the time I watched it, I knew how the show ended.
It was too
readily available to see the spoiler alert of it fades to black at the end of it.
Right.
And you don't know the outcome. And so being able to react, I don't know how I would have felt about it, if I would have liked it, if I would have hated it, if I would have, having the hindsight, you go through it and you're like, I know how this is going to end. Oh, there it is. It fades to black. Would have been a completely different experience. So I would take The Sopranos.
I think to watch for the first time, like when it first came out and the shock value of, or whatever, Animal House.
Mm. So you're going movie.
You're going to go movie.
I like that. That's a good choice by you.
Did they ever make did they do like a Caddyshack? Did they make an Animal House 2?
No.
They never did. They
you
never
sure
touched
about
it.
That?
Because they made a Caddyshack 2 and
it
nobody watched
it. Straight to VHS movie.
I'm 99% positive there was never ever anything close to follow up to Animal
House. Give you a close second for me because I just rewatched a few episodes. Golden Girls.
No, it was never made.
Yeah.
Okay, there was never
somebody
a
might
they
have
did bring
once.
The franchise to television with a spinoff sequel titled Delta House on ABC in 1979.
Mm.
But I don't think it lasted.
No.
According to my reading, it did not. Yes.
Yeah, I think you got to go television show when appointment television mattered.
If we're going there, I would pick MASH.
Mm. What's the number on that finale?
I
think it's the highest rated.
40 million?
TV.
60 million? It's something crazy. Well,
I don't know what the total number was, but in terms of the share or the rating, the percentage.
Drew an average, the final episode, the series finale, Goodbye, Farewell, and Amen, drew an average of 105 million viewers.
That's a Super Bowl.
It peaked at an estimated 125 million viewers.
Okay, follow up.
Accounted for roughly 77% of televisions in the United States.
But
at
who
the time.
Turned it on late?
How?
Or who turned it off?
Yeah, how do you peak at a different number?
How do you peak on a television show?
You flipping through
sports,
like
sports? It's like
well,
I'm not
I think
the third
that
quarter.
Show. If I remember, it. That show was 1 hour. Like normally, MASH episodes were half hour sitcom or whatever it was. I think the final. It was either an hour, maybe it was even 2 hours. I have no idea. But yeah, it was longer than the normal episode.
I also, like, in consideration of Swag's answer.
Dude. That is insane.
I would have loved to have been able to go opening weekend to watch A New Hope Star Wars.
Which one was that?
The very first one. The first one that he made.
What year did that come out?
1977.
Mm.
It broke people's brains.
I didn't go opening weekend, but yeah, my dad took us very early in its opening.
You're not a Star Wars guy, are you?
I'm not uber Star Wars, but
get down on Star
the
Wars?
Star Wars, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I would have loved to have seen that.
Was it that, like, so when it came out, was it that big of a deal?
Not the first one, because it didn't, people weren't sure if it was going
to
play or not.
The sci-fi movie.
Now, the second
Empire one. Empire Strikes Back.
That one... My dad came and picked us up early from school, and we went and stood in line at the Westgate Theater that no longer exists in Beaverton for hours.
To go in.
Little dude on a golf cart coming out. The 6:40 showing is sold out. We're selling tickets for the 9:30 showing or whatever.
So I think your memory of the movie's a little off in the sense of I think the first weekend it didn't quite It made $500 million in the box office.
But the buzz build this time went.
But it wasn't like right out of the shoot. It took a little bit for it to build.
People saw it and got excited about it.
And people saw it and go, oh my God, this is amazing. We've never seen anything like it.
Return of the Jedi.
Return of the Jedi and Empire Strikes Back.
I'm going as a Wookiee or an Ewok.
Oh, it was, yeah.
You're going to dress up and go see the movie?
Yeah, at that point. Yeah, I probably would have. What are you? I'm kind of furry, and that's the evolution of the furry.
Do you think we're going to have that reaction to any movies that come? Like, I know that some will still get it, but like, there's big movies coming out this summer.
It was in my mail, my Magic Hat last week. Was the box office the next couple weeks is lining up. Spielberg's movie comes out this week.
Was it Disclosure Day is what it's called? It's supposed to be a big deal.
Yes.
Best movie in 20 years, what the previews are telling me. But what's the new Nolan one with Damon?
The Odyssey.
Yeah.
It's got Tom Holland in it.
Tom Holland's in the movie.
I was going to ask you about that on the Magic Hat. I just ask now and you can think on it. How many movie genres from one director do you keep watching? Because this is going to be what alien movie for him? This third one?
More than that.
His fourth one?
I think it's more than that.
His fifth one? Yeah. He's pretty big into monster movies, and aliens is obviously a big deal to him.
Let's see here. So Close Encounters of the Third Kind was the first.
Yep.
E.T. was the second. Yeah. War of the Worlds.
Yep, Tom Cruise.
Is third. And then according to Google AI, this is the fourth.
Yeah, so it's the fourth alien-based movie.
Although,
same director.
Cocoon, did he?
This is not showing that.
I can't remember if he had a part in Cocoon.
People are also pointing out that the Indiana Jones Kingdom of the Crystal Skull was technically an alien movie. Remember that battle with Shia LaBeouf?
That's a skull of an alien.
There's aliens. They got a skull of an alien.
Fifth and sixth, depending on where you're looking.
Yeah, what falls under the label of it. I'm excited to see it because all the other ones. Actually, I've never seen War of the Worlds, to be honest with you.
With Tom Cruise.
I never saw that one, no. E.T. I've obviously seen in Close Encounters of the Third Kind is terrifying. That's a great movie.
The OG War of the Worlds, because how it all started, that story, I thought it was a good movie.
Okay.
I also, the idea of that being what aliens are is, it's so terrifying to me.
Yeah.
They're here. They're going to kill you.
Doesn't matter.
They're going to suck your brains out of your skeleton with their ships.
There's no hope.
And they're going to fertilize the lawn with your guts. Like, the idea of that is an entirely terrifying concept. It wasn't bad, though.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to the theater to see it?
I mean, with a two-year-old at home, probably not. But my niece is like, she's eager for some babysitting opportunities. They're actually so in the neighborhood theater, they're showing Back Rooms right now, which I don't really know the full backstory, but it's super intriguing to me of how it all came about.
That's a horror movie, right?
Yes. It started as like a 4chan thing years ago that then went into like a
is
short series.
Is it a true horror? Is it more a suspense thriller sort of thing?
I don't know, but people are raving about it and the idea behind it. And it, like in a modern movie climate where all we get is Supergirl, it's like a rare W.
Is it like a parallel universe sort of thing?
Basically, yeah. It's like an endless office that you can't get out of. And there's monsters, something along those lines. But I'm not going to pretend to know the whole gist of it. But if it's at the neighborhood theater, I'll go. I'll go see it. I don't know if they're going to show it or not, but I'm excited about it.
I'll give you a take, dude. All the theater seems to be for me is a movie theater guy. I'm a member of one of the theater companies. All it is it's horror or it's superheroes.
That's all you get.
I disagree with the sentiment of like there's no horror. Half the previews of any movie are horror movies. And it's like the Valentine's Day slasher.
I think the Odyssey on a big screen might be impressive.
But that one you got to go see IMAX, right? Didn't they shoot it in full IMAX cameras?
I don't know.
It's the first movie ever filmed to be
completely in IMAX.
Holland
talked about that. He said filming that was bizarre because you would film it and the IMAX cameras are about as big as our table.
Well, they're massive,
and they make a humming noise that you can't catch on the screen, but it's like,
but you can hear it as an actor.
But you can hear it performing, so it's very odd. Like you're acting, you're doing your best, but you're like, it's a part of the movie in a weird way.
You can't unhear it. Good mail sack, as always, brought to you by our wonderful friends at Sparta TRT. Whether you're hitting the gym, just trying to survive the workday, don't just watch from the sidelines. Reclaim your edge. Win at the second half of life. SpartaTRT.com. We'll save some leftovers for next week. We got game four of the Stanley Cup final. We'll get you set for your night in sports. Wrap it up next on 105.1 FM The Fam.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, real people tell their stories live on stage.
I burst into tears. And I wasn't sure if I was crying because I hadn't been kissed in a really long time or if I had just never been kissed like that before.
to hear fascinating, heartbreaking, and sometimes hilarious stories from astronauts, teachers, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, I'm sitting around the house on Saturday night, unbeknownst to me, ingesting food poisoning, eating a burrito that's going to cause me to miss Monday's show. But in the moment, it tasted delightful. And you know what else was delightful? Was getting texts from my co-hosts about a hockey game that I was just pleased to know that you were watching, man. 4-0, a lot of people kind of gave up, myself included. I mentally went to the point, right, we were due for a dud. Mitch Marner had a hat trick in...
Fastest hat trick ever.
What, like a minute and a half? Yep. Like, Toronto fans are just at home screaming at their televisions of like, he wasn't the reason we were losing. Terrified that he left, and now he's dominating in Vegas, and you've got a 4-0 game. The game is over. Not so fast, my friend. We get, what, 3 goals in 39 seconds or whatever the number was? End up going to overtime, and Vegas finally scores a game-winning goal in the flukiest of ways possible, which is both the beauty and the ugly nature of hockey, is that you can play an incredible game and then get a puck that just bounces randomly off of the end board, and it goes off of a skate and it goes in, and that's how the game ends. But Vegas ended up winning. They take a 2-1 series lead. All three games have delivered. Game one was fantastic. Mm-hmm. Game two goes to overtime. Game three goes to overtime. A lot on the line tonight. It has been done in hockey to come back from down 3-1, but you don't want to put yourself in that position, although they will be going home for the next game. Where's Blue Line Brandon on game four of the Stanley Cup playoff tonight? Vegas, Carolina is a slight favorite on the money line over Vegas to get the win tonight.
Yeah, quick correction. Thank you to the text police. I was afraid I was getting butt cracked on
Your female genitalia
yeah. fish, but apologize.
You got AI'd there.
I got AI'd. Though that fish looks like I'd like a pet of that fish.
It's a really funny looking fish. Yeah. If you can AI, that's a pretty funny thing to AI.
If I need to be Kanye West,
I'll allow
give
it.
Me some fish sticks.
Did you see his latest music video, by the way?
No. Is it a lot of saluting and hoods?
No. It's a gal in a bikini milking a cow.
Is it his wife, who's always naked?
I don't know. Maybe it is. I'm not firm enough on the game. Okay. She's milking a cow. It's about a 90-second video.
It's awesome.
And at the end of the video, he walks onto the screen.
Drinks milk.
And takes the milk and feeds it to her.
I think the Carolina Hurricanes.
Yeah. You like their chances
I have
tonight?
Them winning tonight because I want to ask you this.
Okay. What do you got?
So I did get a chuckle. I almost turned it off too. It was 4-0.
4-0 in hockey. That's.
Yeah. I'm at a grad party and someone goes, Sprague, your phone has hockey on it. And I go, I know.
I know.
Did you mean to do that? Like, yeah, I know. It's 4-0 though. Yeah. I get
give
the
it another minute. I'll give it a minute. You know. Fine. We'll see.
Third period, they go in a storm. They get the debatable fourth tying goal. Is it interference, not interference?
Yes.
I told Swag yesterday, I don't know what interference is all the time.
I don't think they know at times either. It's one of those, like, it just happens.
It's offsides in soccer with VAR. Yeah. They don't know it, but they just think they know it, so they call it.
Very, very true.
Double overtime, you're like, oh my God, dude. You start to feel the suspense of stuff. I absolutely laughed out loud how they won.
Hilarious.
This is
ending.
Literally what I note about hockey that bothers me sometimes. It's just the way the puck will go.
The fluky bounce. You get a bounce.
The fluky bounce went their way. Where would Vegas winning and going up 3-1 rank of blowing your mind given the gap between these two and what they were for most of the season?
I can't go there anymore because of what Vegas did to Colorado in the conference final.
So them doing it to Colorado already has you
that
going,
already
well,
my
right.
mind's already that been sufficiency sufficiently blown.
Gotcha.
I can't get blown any more than I've been blown. Don't pull that.
Bluefish.
Yes. If you do that to what was historically speaking one of the 10 greatest teams in the regular season in NHL history, yes, I know injuries were a part of it.
So they were the OKC of the sport.
Like, what? They swept them?
Gotcha.
So I'm already there of like, none of this makes any sense to begin with, so I can't get my mind blown anymore. It's still like Carolina's power play, if you want a hockey breakdown of this.
I would
is
like
just,
a little hockey tidbits.
Dude, they're... Their power play having the numbers it's had is the jaw dropper of the series because they got a lot of firepower and there's a lot of skilled guys that they can lean on. And their power play was one of the best in the league for chunks of the season. And it's down. I don't know what the number is off the top of my head. I want to say it's less than 15%, which in power play terms is horrendous. Like, that's god awful to be at 15% as a power play unit. And if they can't figure that out, they're not going to win the series. Like, it's been done before. There's been teams with bad power plays that have been found a way to do it. But if you're not scoring at a higher clip against a team who seems to have a little magic mojo on their side right now, I don't like your odds. So that's the biggest thing that they got to figure out. Do they do it tonight? I don't know. It was a weird game, too, because you pull your goalie just thinking, let's keep our starter fresh. And then next thing you know, that goalie doesn't allow a goal until the second overtime. So do we get a change in net tonight? Because hockey teams will do that. I don't know if they've announced a starter yet. But sometimes you get a guy who rides a heater like that because they pulled him. And Anderson's been great for him. And they pulled him early, and all of a sudden you're like, well, this guy was just kind of filling minutes for us in a 4-0 game. Do you start him in game four tonight, or do you go back to the guy who's been carrying you to this point? It's a very unique circumstance.
Well, I guess the tough thing for me not understanding, because I can watch Wemby and the Spurs and the Knicks or the Thunder or whoever it is, and I can get a general idea of what's changed things. In hockey, I just what is Vegas doing then to, I guess, mitigate Carolina, or do you think it's just kind of luck on power play stuff? Like, what are they doing?
It's part of it is it's all killing power plays is always a joint combination. You need elite goaltenders. Your goalie's got to be your best penalty killer. And for the most part, he's been good.
He's been good, but not elite.
He's been bad in spurts, if that makes sense.
I think they're both trading off of this.
And for a stretch, he'll be dominant. And then you're like, dude, you just gave up two greasy goals in like 30 seconds. How could you do that? So that's the weird conundrum of it. Outside of that, it's just it's a combination. Are you snake bitten? You're getting good looks, but sometimes the puck's just not going in. You're just missing the net, or you're hitting a crossbar. A lot of it is Vegas and their scouting of knowing where to be and taking away passing lanes. Like, it's always a joint problem, but this also isn't just an issue. I feel like the power play thing's kind of plagued them, but they've been able to overcome it throughout the playoffs, and now it's rearing its ugly head because you're down two. It's the first time they've trailed in a series. They've overcome it earlier in the playoffs. Now you're losing, and you're trying to pinpoint why are you losing, and that's the main thing that people are pointing to.
I'm taking Carolina 5-3.
5-3 tonight. So we get 5-3. Our first game decided by more than one goal, because every game's been a one-goal game so far.
Canes get an empty netter.
Empty netter to win by two. So you're on the Canes train tonight,
too? Yeah, I think the Canes. Because they're
jumping on the blue line Brandon train?
Yeah, their defense was pretty sloppy. I expect Anderson to start. I think he was hung out to dry by some of
the sloppiness. You're not wrong. Not all those goals were on him.
And so they'll put him right back in there. You had to pull him there so he didn't get any more rattled. But
no.
Two of those goals
it just
were
was
not
interesting
on him.
That when you have somebody come in relief who plays as well as the backup played, it makes you go.
I think that's good to know in case Anderson has a rough outing later in the series.
You want a crazy stat, by the way, on the Stanley Cup final?
Absolutely.
This is the 46th consecutive Stanley Cup final, 46 straight years, that a teammate of Jaromir Jagr is playing in the Stanley Cup final.
What year did he retire?
He played for a long time.
I know. Like, I haven't
there's
heard
actually
like
a player. There's
45
a
or
Anderson,
40.
The goalie, played with him.
Oh, okay.
And Jankowski on Vegas? Jankowski? No, Carolina. Maybe they're both on Vegas. Or both on Carolina. I can't remember. But they both played with him as a teammate. 46 straight years.
Wow.
A teammate of his has played in the Stanley Cup final.
Hmm.
Pretty wild. I, too, will ride the Carolina train tonight, although gambling against Vegas is a very uneasy proposition right now. We'll see how it goes. Hopefully it delivers. I made the claim. We're going to get two classics. So far, delivering. Don't let me down.
6-for-6.
Let's make it 7-for-7 tonight. That'll do it for us. Great little show. If you missed it, go check the podcast, 1051thefan.com, at 1051thefan on Twitter. We'll tweet it out here as soon as we are done. Sean Hammond joined us to give us an update on the Chicago Stadium situation and whether they'll be the Indiana Bears or not. We will talk to you tomorrow at 6 a.m. The firm, Harrison Marang, is next. You're listening to 1051 FM The Fan.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.